And I'll tell y'all something. I have
an individual that I've been praying for quite a bit over the past couple of months, and been praying along the lines of salvation. And I noticed that this individual was asking a lot of Bible questions. And just the other day, came up to me and said, "I want to show you something." I said, "What is it?" He said, "Well, you got to see." And I went out there to their car, and they pulled out a Bible. And said, "I found that." Said, "I don't know where I got it from, but I knew I had it, and I found it, and I've been reading it." And then they said this to me. Y'all want to get this? Now, this is coming from somebody that they don't believe this. They're just seeking the Lord, trying to seek after the truth. But they said to me, said, "There's one thing I figured out." He said, "You can't just get it just by reading." And I said, "Well, yeah, you're right." He says, "It's like you have to study it." And I said, "Well, amen." I said, "It would to God more church folks could get a hold of that, amen." But pray for that individual. Pray the Lord to get a hold of him. Pray the Lord to use it. I think he is already, but let's keep praying that way. But what a lesson we ought to learn. It's good sometimes to see that thing fresh from the eyes of somebody who's not really come to it before like that. And I tell you, would to God we'd all get in this book and read it and study it and love it and feed off of it, amen. And so if you got your Bible there with you, I want you to open up with me this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel back in the Old Testament. And we're going to be looking here this morning in the 15th chapter of 2 Samuel. I'll give everyone a moment or two to turn there. And as you are turning there, I want to give you a little bit of background as to what we're about to read. This is a time during the reign of King David over Israel, where he's going through one of the greatest trials that he ever experienced in his life. You see, when David came and became king over God's people, he ushered in one of the greatest times of prosperity, one of the greatest times of spiritual awakening and revival that Israel ever experienced in all their years. And yet David, as many of us know, at one time in his life, committed a great sin with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And as a result of David's great sin, the Lord promised him that he would forgive him, that he would push his sin aside, just like he's done with us, amen. But he told David, "But you won't be able to get away from the consequences of your sin." Can I go ahead and say one thing this morning? Hey, the Lord will forgive sin, amen. And there is mercy with the Lord, and there is grace with the Lord, but that don't always mean you get out of the consequences of your sin. You might go down and rob a bank and ask God to forgive you, and He'll forgive you, but I'm pretty sure the state of Tennessee ain't going to forgive you. Amen. And so David had been forgiven by the Lord, and the Lord had been merciful to him, but the Lord did promise him that there would be some earthly punishment for his sin. And that punishment came primarily in the form of the sin of one of his sons. This son was a young man by the name of Absalom. And Absalom had gone about, as a type of the Antichrist, by the way, he had gone about and peaceably had drawn away the children of Israel over to himself. See, what he did was he would go to those who were coming down to the palace with any kind of complaint or any kind of controversy, and he would explain to them that, you know, the king doesn't have time for you, and you know, David doesn't really care about you like I care about you. And he said, "Why don't you come to me and I'll take care of your problems and I'll meet your needs." And before too long, through his subtlety, Absalom had brought the children of Israel over to his side of things, at least the majority of them. And so finally the day came that Absalom determined that he was going to take his daddy off the throne. And so he took his army and those who followed him, and he marched down to the city of Jerusalem with the intent of killing his own father, David. David, seeing what was taking place, had already determined in his heart that he would not fight against his own son, Absalom. And so David, rather than stand his ground and fight over the city of Jerusalem, he gathered those together who were still on his side. And he took that band of men and women, that group of aging, mighty men and soldiers, and they departed out of that great city. And as we find David here in the passage we're about to read, he is fleeing from Absalom his son, And he's getting ready to cross over the Jordan River to go out there and hide in the wilderness. But I want you to see what the Bible says took place during that time. I want you to look with me, if you would, down about verse number 16, and we'll read on down from there. And the Bible says in verse 16 of 2 Samuel chapter 15, "And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Cherethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. And David said to Ittai, Go and pass over. And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this precious story that you've given us here in your word. But Lord, we know that these are more than stories. Lord, this is history. These are events that took place and were orchestrated in such a way that they illustrate your grace and your love to sinners like us. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that you might just loosen these lips of clay. That, Lord, you'd help my flesh to take a back seat just to get out of the way. That your Holy Spirit might do a work in me and through me. And that, Lord, you might reach and touch the heart of everyone who's gathered here today. Lord, I don't know whether one is lost or saved or not. Lord, all I have to go off of is their testimony. But Lord, you know their heart. And so Lord, if there is one here this morning lost and on their way to a devil's hell, I pray that this would be the day they might come and be born again into your family by faith in your Son. And Lord, I pray for those who are my brothers and my sisters in Christ, that you might stir our hearts, encourage us in the work of the Lord, and help us to get busy serving you like we read about here in your word. For we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. As I mentioned to you here just a little while ago, I believe that Absalom stands in the word of God as a type of the Antichrist. By that I simply mean that the Bible, though it was written by many human penmen, it actually only has one author. Amen? That Bible said that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so this morning, whereas one book might have been written down by Paul, and another book might have been written down by Moses, and another book might have been written down by Peter, we understand that they were just the penmen. The Holy Spirit of God is the true author. And as such, one of the great truths that we find in the Word of God is that you can go all the way back to the Old Testament and you can find foreshadowing and you can find types of New Testament truths that would not come until much later. And so I believe this morning that Absalom stands as a type of the Antichrist in the sense that he came to power through subtlety. He came to power by drawing men's hearts away from the true king. Amen. And yet, by that same standard, I believe that David stands up as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, you read through the life of David and you read through the Psalms of David, and you're going to find that in many different ways, his life stands as a foreshadowing of the person of Jesus Christ who would one day come to this earth. But I don't want to focus your attention this morning on David or on Absalom. I want to focus your attention for just a little while this morning on that fellow that we read about here in this passage by the name of Ittai the Gittite. Now, I know he's got kind of a funny name, and it's actually kind of fun to say if you try it out, Ittai the Gittite. And yet, I realize this morning, though his name might be kind of funny and it might kind of sound humorous, I believe there are some great truths that we can discover by looking here at the life of Ittai the Gittite. For you see, just as David stands as a type of the Lord Jesus, I believe that Ittai stands for here in this passage as a type of a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to look here this morning for just a little while, and I want to preach to you on the subject of Ittai the Gittite. Ittai the Gittite. Amen. Now you say, well, preacher, how in the world could this man, all the way back here in 2 Samuel chapter 15, how could he possibly picture me living up here in the year 2017? Amen. And yet I believe this morning that despite the gap in history, and despite the fact that we are not from the same place he is, and we may not have looked like him and talked like him, I believe that we have a lot in common with old Ittai the Gittite. You say, well, what, for example? Well, first of all, he was from the wrong people. He was a Gittite. Now, I realize this morning that for most of you, that probably doesn't mean very much. You say, well, preacher, what in the world is a Gittite? Well, a Gittite was one of those many groups of people that lived there in the land of Canaan that were the enemies of the Israelites. Of course, you had the Amorites and the Ammonites. You had the Amalekites. You had the Philistines and the Canaanites and all these various groups who would consistently war against God's people. Amen? The Gittites were one of those groups, but they were a very specific group. You see, the Gittites were part of the Philistines. As a matter of fact, who in here this morning has ever heard of Goliath? Anybody here heard of Goliath? Of course, Goliath was that great enemy of the people of God, taunted the Lord and taunted the Israelites. And yet God sent King David, or rather sent little young David, with nothing but a sling and some smooth stones. And he knocked the old giant down. Amen. Killed him right there on the spot. Well, can I tell you one place that the Bible tells us something about old Goliath? It calls him Goliath the Gittite. In other words, these were not just your everyday common enemies of the children of Israel. These were some of the greatest, most violent, most hateful enemies that Israel had ever known. And yet as we look here at Ittai, he was part of the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people. But as we find him here in the passage, he has aligned himself right alongside King David. Amen. And so I see here that he's part of the wrong people. I see not only that, but I see also that he's an exile even amongst his own people. That's what David said, if you look there with me, down here in verse number 19, toward the end of the verse. He said, "For thou art a stranger and also an exile." And so the idea there is that being an exile, Ittai was the kind of person that had nowhere to lay his head. He had nowhere to truly call home. He had nowhere to find a place of comfort until he came and found a place right alongside King David. Amen. Y'all with me here? I'm telling you this morning that Ittai was of the wrong people, and Ittai was of the wrong lineage, and Ittai was of the wrong nation, and Ittai was even an exile amongst his own. Amen. And yet when he came up there beside King David, hey, the stranger found a place where he had a family. Hey, when he came upside King David, this old Gittite was able to join up alongside the people of God. Hey, when he came up along King David, that exile that had no home and no place to lay his head found a place of comfort and a place of rest there amongst the people of God in the presence of the king. And can I say, friend, that if you can't see in that what Jesus Christ has done for you and me, then you're just about blind as a bat this morning. Hey, old Paul said over there in Ephesians chapter 2 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I want to say, friend, I was part of the wrong family. Hey, that Bible said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father he will do. That was me, friend. And yet now I'm part of the family of God. Hey, born again, adopted into God's divine family by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I was an exile. I couldn't find a place of rest. I couldn't find a place of comfort. I could try religion, and yet there was no rest there. I could try going after the pleasures of this world, but can I say to you, friend, there is no rest there. I could try out having lots of money, and I could try out having lots of popularity, but you find no rest there. But when I find my place, hey, when I found my place right there in the person of Jesus Christ, I found a place of rest. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so I believe this morning that O Ittai, the Gittite, I believe he personifies you and I who have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He pictures for us an individual who has been born again into God's family. But that being said, I believe this morning we can learn some things about what you and I ought to do as believers by looking here at the example of Ittai the Gittite. And I want to say first of all to you this morning that we can learn from his faithfulness to King David. We can learn something from that living here in the year 2017, sitting here at Ball Road Baptist Church. I believe every single individual here, myself included, could stand to learn something about the faithfulness a saint of God ought to have to our King by looking here at the example of old Ittai the Gittite. Now, if you look right there in the passage, you know what you're going to discover? You are going to discover that God, or rather, let me step back here, that David did not force Ittai to live for him. He didn't force Ittai to serve him, did he? As a matter of fact, I want you to look here with me in verse number 19. David turns there to Ittai just right about the time they're getting ready to cross over the Jordan River. And he says, wherefore goest thou also with us? In other words, he turns to Ittai. And he says, sir, he said, why are you going with us? What reason would you have to want to follow us over the Jordan? And here's why he asked it. He said, return to thy place and abide with the king. Now he's talking about King Absalom right there. He says, return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art also a stranger and an exile. Now you say, what are you getting at, preacher? What he's saying right there, David turns to old Ittai and he says, Ittai, you are nothing but an exile from your own people. You have no reason to have to serve me or have to stay here with me. He said, Absalom will take just as good a care of you, and Absalom, he won't hurt, he won't harm you. You've not even been with me all that long. He said, so why don't you just go on back over and just rest on your laurels and enjoy yourself down there with old King Absalom. Y'all got it? Now he goes on. We're getting somewhere here. He goes on in verse 20. He says, whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. In other words, David gave him his blessing. He said, listen, you can go back and you can live up there with them and have a perfectly good life and you can enjoy yourself and have all kinds of good things. He said, there's no telling where I might take you. There's no telling where you may have to go or what trials you may have to go through if you keep following me. And he said, so why would you want to follow me out here into this wilderness? But I like what old Ittai said, amen.
Ittai came back there in verse 21 and he said, "Oh, King David," this is me paraphrasing it a little bit. He said, "Oh, King David, I don't care if I have to get my boots muddy in this old river right here. I don't care if I have to sweat climbing up the mountaintop. I don't care if I have to go down in the darkness of the valley. I don't care if the wild beasts get after us. And I don't care if Absalom finds us and lops my head right off my shoulders." He says, "Because you're my king. And just as long as the Lord lives, and just as long as my king lives, I'm going to be where my king is." Amen. You say, what's that? That's faithfulness. That's faithfulness. Now, you know something about the Lord, friend. The Lord doesn't make you do anything for Him. Now, I would say this. Every type and every picture that we have in the Bible, they're never quite perfect. They're never quite perfect is the real thing. And so I don't want y'all to get the wrong impression. The Lord is not going around to folks saying, "Why don't you go off over there and live in the world? I mean, why don't you go over here and go back living like the devil again?" He's never given us an excuse to do that. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, "Be ye holy, even as I am holy." I believe He wants us and He desires us to live for Him and serve Him. But can I say this? He doesn't force us to live for Him and serve Him. And I believe this morning, you say, "Preacher, I don't know about all that. I mean, how can you resist the Lord's sovereign will? I know all that garbage. I know about all that stuff." People resist it all the time. Amen. People resist the Lord's. Old Calvinists stand up and raise his hand and say, "But if the Lord says it, it must be so." I'm going to tell you, God gave man a free will. And the very testament of that fact is the fact that most of y'all in here and the preacher standing up there in that pulpit, most of us ain't doing what God called us to do.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And you've got to be pretty full of yourself. And you've got to be pretty prideful to think you're doing everything God did call you to do. Amen, amen, amen. What I'm saying to you this morning is that if God forced us to live for Him, this church would look a lot different. And if God forced us and made us to live for Him, our homes would look a lot different. And if God forced us to live for Him, our nation would look a lot different. But He doesn't. As a matter of fact, the Lord will save you. He will redeem you. He will wash you and cleanse you from all your sin in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ if you'll trust Him. But He doesn't make you get saved. And He doesn't make you live for Him. And I tell you, friend, if you listen to the devil long enough, he'll give you plenty of reason to go back out there into the world and live for them. He will give you plenty of reason to make your flesh feel good and look good and act good. He will give you every reason in the world to go back where Absalom is. But would to God we could have some Christians who would have the faithfulness of Ittai, who would say, "Lord, I know I could very easily go out there and live just like the rest of this world, and I could. Lord, I know I could very easily disobey You and do whatever I wanted to do. And Lord, I know I could. Lord, I know that there's some fun things out there and there's some things that look real good out there. And Lord, I know I could go out there and get after them. But Lord, I want to be where You are. Lord, I want to be where You're at. I want to be doing what You want me to do. I want to be available to You so when You need me, I'm ready and I'm waiting to serve. I want to be like Ittai and be faithful to my King." Tell you, we could learn this morning about His faithfulness to David. But I believe secondly this morning we could learn from Ittai by how he followed David. You say, "Well, what do you mean, preacher?" Well, look down there at verse 20 with me once again, if you would. He said right there, "Whereas thou camest but yesterday." Now, I'm going to tell you something about Ittai real quick. There isn't much said about Ittai in the Bible. As a matter of fact, he's mentioned right here in chapter 15, and he's mentioned one more time, chapter 18. We're going to get there here in a little bit. Those are the only places, only two places in the Bible where Ittai is mentioned. So we don't know much about his birth. We know where he was born. He was a Gittite. He was born down there amongst the Philistines. We know a little bit about some things he did because we read about him right here in the passage. But we don't know much about him. But I tell you, I believe we learned something right there in what David said. Y'all see it? Look at verse 20 again. "Whereas thou camest but yesterday, Should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Let me explain to you what David was saying. He was saying that Ittai hadn't been around very long. Y'all check me up on it. I mean, you can tell me later on. You can tell me if I'm wrong. But that seems to indicate that Ittai hadn't been around very long. In other words, he just showed up a few days ago. He was brand new to this whole show. And all of a sudden, right here on day two or day three, the whole thing goes boom and he has to flee the city and run down around with King David. And so the idea here is what David is saying to him is, you hadn't even been here very long. Why would you want to keep following me? Right? I mean, you ain't got a dog. You ain't really got a dog in this fight yet. Why you want to get in there and get bloody and get dirty? David said, I may have to climb some mountaintops out here in the wilderness. You ready to climb those mountaintops? You don't need to do all that. He said, I might have to go down some valleys where some wild beasts are lurking. You ready to go down in there? He said, I'm going to have to cross over this Jordan, and it's raging pretty good this time of year. You ready to get wet and risk your life? You just came yesterday. But Ittai said in verse 21, as the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely, in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or in life, even there also will thy servant be. You know what that is? That's the definition of following. He said, wherever you are, that's where I'm going. That means you go up on the mountaintop, Lord, I'm going up on the mountaintop with you. That means you go down in the valley, I'm getting down in the valley with you. That means you have to cross over the Jordan, I'm crossing over that Jordan with you. And that means if I've got to die, at least I'll die and go to be with you. And if I live, I'll live with you. And wherever you are, that's where I'm going to be. Amen. I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to follow you, King. You know what it reminds me of? You see, he was prompt in his following. He didn't delay. He didn't make excuses. He could have, but he didn't. As soon as the opportunity arose, he immediately followed. Makes me think about Matthew there in the New Testament. Old Matthew said at the receipt of custom, he was a tax collector for the Roman Empire, one of the most hated people amongst the Jews at that time. And yet the Bible said that Jesus passed by his way one day. And right there as Matthew was sitting there at the receipt of custom, gathering the taxes and filling out the ledger, Jesus turned to that old tax collector that nobody loved and everyone complained about. And he said, hey, he said, rise up and follow me. And you know what that Bible said? It didn't say that Matthew looked at him and said, but Lord, I've got some work to do. I'll do it later. Hey, Matthew didn't look up at him and say, well, I've got a family at home. I've got to make sure I can feed. He didn't say, well, Lord, that's fine and all, but my favorite show's on later tonight and I need to be there for it. He got up from his table and he immediately followed his Lord. I believe that's the kind of following that the Lord is looking for. He's looking for some Christians that'll quit making excuses. You see, Ittai, this tells us he's actually a type of a newborn babe in Christ. Somebody that just got saved. And can I tell you, the devil gets after those who just got saved. He gets after them good. I found something to be true. I'm going to get back in the message here in a moment. But I found this to be true. About the time somebody trusts Christ in an old-fashioned Baptist church or through knocking on their door, through some good old-fashioned Baptist door knocking, somebody gets born again. You know who's going to knock on their door about a week later? Old JW. Old Mormon. Old charismatic. Get them messed up. Get them mixed up in some crazy false doctrine. You say, why? Because the devil loves to attack those babes, those little babies in Christ. Those newborn babies in Christ. That's what Ittai was. But I like Ittai. Because Ittai, regardless, Absalom was after him and his people. And he could have very easily said, you know what, I'm done with all this. I know I got in here and I know it was going good there for a day or two, but you know what, it's about time I turn around and get back to what I was doing. He could have done like a lot of Baptists I know. He could have done like some preachers I know and gone on back. But he said, regardless of how long I've been here, I may not know it all, and I may not be the most experienced, and I may not be the closest to David yet, but I'm going to be. And so, King, wherever you are, you're my king, and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to tell y'all something this morning before I move on. If you follow Jesus, I cannot promise you, and He wouldn't either, I cannot promise you it's going to all be rosy. As a matter of fact, you follow Jesus, you're going to have a cross. Hey, you follow Jesus, you're going to have a Judas to betray you. You follow Jesus, you're going to have some who are going to go by the wayside and leave you just like He did. You go after Jesus, you may find yourself that the foxes have holes and the birds there have nests, but you don't have anywhere to lay your head. Amen. Hey, the servant is not greater than his master. But I tell you this, wherever you follow Jesus, you'll be in the right place. Wherever you follow Him, whether rich or poor, amen, whether you're persecuted or not, whether you've got everything, you have nothing, you follow Him, you're in the right place. You're in a place where you're more blessed than the millionaire who's not following Him. You're more blessed than the one that has his health that's not following Him. You're more blessed than the one in power who's not following Him. And I say to Ittai, realized that early on, and he followed his king. I believe we could learn from him this morning from his faithfulness. I believe we could learn from old Ittai from his following. But I believe we could learn something from Ittai in his fight. Now, if you got your Bible still there with you, I want you to turn over with me to chapter number 18, just a page or two over, here in 2 Samuel chapter 18. At this point, David has been hiding out in the wilderness on the other side of the River Jordan from the city of Jerusalem. And he's got his mighty men there, but I'm going to be honest with you, they're all getting a little bit old. I mean, they know how to fight. Amen. They always say, be afraid of an old man. Be afraid of an old man in a young man's business. Amen. It means he's whooped all the rest of them. And these men, they were getting older. They still knew how to fight. They were still, I mean, they were warriors, but they were getting older. And they had a bunch of women and children involved them out there too. This was a ragtag army if there ever was one. And now, finally, as we get here to chapter 18, Absalom and his army have found them. And they're getting ready to attack in just a few hours. They're setting up their troops. They're getting their formations put together. And they're getting ready to attack David and his little army of 600. Y'all with me? And David has to make some decisions pretty quick about who's going to lead. Now, there was Joab. You know, Joab was always the general over, or at least for the most part, always the general over David's army. So Joab, he got the first army. And then, of course, Joab had his brother Abishai. Abishai was a good warrior, had led men before, so he put Abishai over the second army. But can I tell y'all something? David had a lot of mighty men. I mean, there were some Benaiahs. Amen. There were some fellows in there that had killed and slain dozens and hundreds, in some cases, of men. And so really, even though they were getting older and everything, David had his choice of who would lead that third army. But I want you to look here in verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 18 with me. And David numbered the people that were with him, and he set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother. And a third part under the hand of who? Who? Ittai the Gittite. In other words, out of all those mighty men that David could have chosen, and he had them, out of anyone who had been there longer and even had more experience, I believe David looked down and he saw the faithfulness that Ittai had exhibited. He saw Ittai's heart and how he would follow him no matter where he went. And he said, that's the man I want to put in charge of the battle. That's the man I want to get down there in the trenches with. That's the man that's going to bring a victory. Can I tell y'all something? I realize we don't fight with swords and shields and guns and knives and things like that. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I know that. But we do have a warfare.
Amen.
And we do have weapons. We have that shield of faith. We have that helmet of salvation. We have that breastplate of righteousness. We've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We've got our feet shod with the preparation of peace. We've got prayer. Amen. We've got the gospel. And so whereas our weapons may not be carnal and fleshly like the weapons of this world, we've got weapons that are more powerful than anything this world could ever devise. And we do have a warfare. The Bible said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We've got a war to fight. We've got an enemy to fight. And I believe it's the ones who are the faithful, the ones who will follow the orders that their king gives, who are going to be able to get in the battle and have the victory. So we can learn something from Ittai. He not only knew how to be faithful, he not only knew how to follow, but he was a fighter. And I'm going to tell you where our battlefield is. Our battlefield takes place on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night.
Amen.
Amen. Our battle takes place in giving the gospel on that doorstep or to our lost co-worker or to our lost family member. Our battle is down there on our knees by our bedside at our home, praying for one another and praying for the lost and praying for missionaries and praying for our church. Our battlefield is the prayer closet. Our battlefield is the reading and studying of God's Word. Our battlefield is going out to win the lost to Christ. Our battlefield is the preaching and teaching of God's Word in a local assembly. I ask you this morning, will you be faithful to your king? Will you follow your king? Will you fight for your king? Would to God. Now, I'm not saying this. You don't have to fight for me. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't hardly be worth fighting for. And I mean that. And really, you don't have to fight for one another. But you ought to fight for your king. And you ought to follow him. You ain't got to follow me everywhere, but you better follow Jesus. And I ask you this morning as we get ready to have a time of invitation, would you say, like Ittai, as the Lord liveth and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Would you say to the Lord this morning, Lord, wherever you're leading, whatever you want from me, wherever you are, that's where I want to be, and I'm going to follow you. And I leave you with this, and I'm done. But he did say one thing I think is pretty amazing there. He said, whether in death or life. Now, I know full well that Ittai was saying, Lord, David, if we go out here on the battlefield and you get killed, I'm getting killed too because I'm going with you. I know that's what he was saying literally. But I believe there's a much greater meaning for you and I. Because see, our king died once, but he ain't ever going to die again.
Amen.
I like the sound of that. I think I'm going to say that one more time. Our king died once, but he ain't ever going to die again.
Amen.
And so I'm not worried about having to die with him, because he ain't dying again.
Amen.
I'm already crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm already good as dead with him.
Amen.
But can I say one of these days, whether by death or whether by going up alive in the rapture, I'm going to be with him wherever
Amen.
He is.
Amen.
And you put Jesus on the backside of Jupiter, I want to be on the backside of Jupiter. If Jesus up there in Alaska, I want to be up in Alaska.
Yeah.
If Jesus is to be found up there in Antarctica, you go put me in the coldest place on this earth. But if Jesus is sitting right there at the right hand of the throne of God in glory, that's where I am. That's where I'm going. And maybe you want to come this morning and just thank Him for that. Maybe you want to come this morning and dedicate your life and dedicate your body to following the Lord Jesus Christ, following your King. Whatever it is, why don't you be obedient to Him and come? Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. Thank You for allowing me to preach Your Word. And I pray now in this time of invitation that Your Spirit would do a work in each and every heart. Lord, You'd move and work in our midst and draw us unto our King. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it, and for His sake. Amen. Amen. If the Lord has dealt with your heart this morning, as we sing, why don't you come?